Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
I think it is mothers that know, maybe better than anyone, the nature of sinful impatience. When the baby is hungry at 3 a.m., even though they should know at a certain point that every time the mother will feed them, they are still very impatient to be fed. When the toddler wants lunch or a snack, it's the same thing, even though they've had a couple years at least of experience to know that they will be fed. The last thing they are is patient. When the teenager wants the keys to the car to learn how to drive, even though if they took a second to be rational, they would realize they had many, many decades of driving ahead of them and eventually probably get to the point where they didn't even really want to drive anymore, they are still very impatient, and mothers, of course, have to deal with it all. Moms also know how easy it is for that sinful nature of impatience to rear its ugly head in all of us. For what mom, or dad for that matter, has not become themselves impatient with their impatient children? Even though we should know better, even though a strong and firm, of course, but yet also calm and calculated approach is generally better, even moms become impatient at times. Impatience is exactly what the Israelites are said to suffer from in the wilderness. Even though they should remember, it was not long ago that the Lord worked mightily in them and brought them through those Red Sea waters, when all seemed completely lost, when Pharaoh's armies were approaching and their chariots were approaching and they were pressed against the sea, the Lord worked mightily in them to save them. They know that they should trust in Him. They know, just like a baby will be fed, the Lord would provide for them. They become impatient. Verse 4, the people became impatient on the way. And it does kind of sound like a toddler, what they say, almost unironically. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. It's like when the toddler wants a snack and they say they're dying of hunger and there's nothing to eat in the house. Of course, it's hyperbole. The children are nowhere close to starving. There are things to eat. It's just that they don't want the cheese stick, they want the Easter candy. The truth of the people of Israel is the same. They actually had exactly what they needed. If you only go back 10 chapters in Numbers, they were given in the morning quail, in the morning manna to eat to the full, as much as they could. And in the evening, they were even given a nice protein source. They were given quail to eat as well. And many times, you know, did God provide them in the wilderness all the water that they needed, even from a dry rock. The Lord provides. But that is the first thing to notice about the nature of impatience when it rears its ugly head. In our times of impatience, if we are honest with ourselves and honest with the situation, we know that God really is always providing for us what we need. Maybe it's not always what we want. Maybe it's not in the way we want it or in the time that we want it. But the Lord does provide what we need when we need it and how we need it. I think of impatience coming up about three different times in life, and there's probably other times you can think of too, but these are the times that I think at least I become most impatient with God and impatient with the world and impatient with myself. The first is in suffering. I don't actually doubt, even though when you go back and read it in Numbers 21, the people sound kind of silly. I don't actually doubt that they were suffering, that the walk in the wilderness was hard, that they did not have the comforts of the world, and that they were suffering as they had to walk around the land of Edom, as the text points out, because the people of Edom did not let them through on a shorter path, that they had to be in the wilderness for 40 years, not having a place to call home. It was probably extremely difficult. There were times where they really were hungry. There were times when they really were thirsty. And I know that a lot of people also suffer now. It seems like almost every day recently there is a new prayer request for someone who is suffering from some sickness, someone new in the hospital, someone close to death, someone grieving a loss, someone in the family struggling with some sort of terrible sin that has beset them. It seems, at least in my life recently and in the church's life recently, that suffering is easily found. To put it simply, life is hard. I don't doubt it. I know it. But in those times when life is hard and it becomes easy to start to think the things of impatience, to think, why doesn't God just end this suffering? Why doesn't he just bring me through it already? Why doesn't he just heal this sickness already? Or let this person have their peaceful rest in Christ already? You can think back through those hard times. And you can ask yourself this question: has God ever not brought you through those hard times, those suffering times, eventually? Does he not bring healing in times of grief? Does he not bring healing in times of sickness? Does he not bring healing to sin? Jesus is the great physician. And when you look back, maybe not when you're in it, but when you look back after you've gone through it, you can see that the great physician does what he promises he will do. He heals. He always has, and he always will, but it does, know this, take time. It is in his timing that he heals, and not ours. The second time when I see impatience often is in times of real need. This is connected to suffering, but a little different. As much as I have seen an increase in suffering recently, I have also this year seen an increase in people who have truly needy situations. Marcia is right in her announcement. There is a need to give alms to the church because there is a need for people in our community. With inflation the way it is, and with finances the way they are today, we have felt it in the church too. There are people, many people, always in need of food, like the Israelites sometimes were, in need of help, real physical help. And those times it is especially tempting to become impatient. When the stomach is growling or when the bank account seems empty, it is tempting to start to wonder, when will I be fed? When will I get the money? How will these things happen? But even in those times, you can ask yourself the same questions. Maybe we don't get all the luxuries that we like, but what has Jesus promised, and has he ever not fulfilled it? That he will provide for you, he will provide for his people, he will provide even for those who are not his people, but that are his precious creation. as much and even more than he does the birds of the air. For if he provides for the birds of the air, how much more will he provide for those whom he has created in his own image? But it will be, again, know this, in his time. He is the one who has the cattle on 1,000 hills. He is the one who all the food and all the money in all the world is already his, and it is his to give to you as he sees fit, when he sees fit. And the third place, I think that it is tempting to become impatient, like the people walking in the wilderness were impatient, is in the ministry of the church. For that was the ministry of the church back then in Numbers 21, the people walking around with Moses in the wilderness. He was leading them, he was teaching them, he was preaching to them, and they were following him. And sometimes there are needs in the church, just like there were needs in that church then. When you have a church that is a revitalization, and the church is in need of more money or more members or whatever it may be, when churches have a need for pastoral leadership or pastoral care, there are a lot of churches today not having the pastors that they need. When churches have a need for lay leadership or lay ownership, investing in the church, that's what the Messenger article is about, if you want to read more about that this month. There are lots of needs in the church and in ministry. And when those needs arise, there are situations that, yes, we would not describe as ideal, but looking back, we can see. And looking forward to his promises, we know that he does provide. He does send the one thing that is needful to his church week in and week out. Just like the manna and the quail was there, maybe it wasn't what the people wanted, but just like the manna and the quail was there every morning and every evening for them, God's word and his sacrament are here week in, week out. They are the one thing that we need for salvation. And he will sustain us. He will give you, in times of suffering, in times of need, in the church, exactly what you need when you need it. And when that impatience comes, in fact, that is good for you in this way. The impatience itself is not good. The impatience is sinful. But it does provide an opportunity, just like it provided an opportunity for those Israelites wandering in the wilderness, an opportunity for repentance. When the people became impatient, they quickly learned that the wages of sin was death. They quickly learn to trust only in the Lord their God, because their Lord their God is not only the one who provides, but he is also the one, and we should know this and we should be warned of this, the one who judges justly. And when they started to doubt him and started to reject him and started to think that even though they were eating the manna and the quail, I'm sure that he was not providing for them what they needed, they rejected him, and the Lord was just. He sent them fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people so that many of the people of Israel died. And so, dear saints, when you begin to feel impatient in suffering or in times of need or in the life of the church, know that all of that suffering is an opportunity and a call to you. And that impatience is a reminder to you of your sinful corruption, and it is a time to repent. The Lord did not send the fiery serpents to the people of Israel because he hated them and because he wanted them to die, but he wanted them to change their ways. He hated their sin, and he wanted them to change their sin and to live for him. He was just, and he was also loving. And so when he sends you suffering of any kind, repent. Remember what the corruption of sin does to you in your heart and does to your neighbors around you. Remember that when Adam became impatient in the garden and just gave in to what the serpent said, the way of the serpent was death. A lesson that the Israelites had to learn again, and it is my prayer for you that you do not have to learn that lesson in the way that some of them did. And so repent now. Rely on his mercy now. For as much as he is just and as much as he will judge, he is also merciful and he wants to hear your prayers of repentance. And those prayers are powerful. That is what the people of Israel must do. Whenever they find themselves in the midst of the wages of sin, James reminds us that the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. The people came to Moses and they said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord." And Moses prayed for the people. And Jesus had said, if you remember this, "Amen, amen, I say to you, ask, and whatever you ask of the Father in my name, you shall receive, and he shall give it to you." And that is what happened that day. The Lord heard the prayer of the righteous Moses, and in his patient mercy, notice how his mercy is patient. The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He provided for them. And he gave them exactly, as he always does, what they needed. Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten when he sees it shall live. So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at that bronze serpent and live. And what a glorious image that is today, that the image of sin, a serpent, but not the fiery serpent itself, but one that looked like it, was put on a pole to look at and to live. For he who became sin knew no sin, but he became sin that we might know the righteousness and that we might become the righteousness of God. That bronze serpent was an image of Jesus. It was an image of Christ crucified. Jesus himself says in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes on him may have eternal life. And so, children, babies, toddlers, those who are impatient, teenagers, mothers, fathers, all of you, the answer to impatience in your life, in suffering, in times of need, in the church, is this: repentance, prayer, and forgiveness. Forgiveness from the one who is lifted up on the cross, the one who took in himself your sin, your impatience, your suffering, your needs, your failures, and he died with all of it. And he crushed that fiery serpent, that old fiery serpent there, that wicked serpent, once and for all, that you might look at him and you might believe on him and you might live. And notice that that takes time too. For it wasn't the bronze serpent itself lifted on the pole in the wilderness that saved the people, but it was God's mercy, God's promise of salvation in the Messiah attached to that bronze serpent. You can know that because later in Israel's history, you can read about this in 2 Kings 18, they had taken that bronze serpent and made an idol out of it and called it Nehushtan. It's a good name for a serpent, I guess. if you're going to make an idol, Nehushtan. It wasn't the serpent itself, the bronze serpent, that saved them. It was God's mercy attached to that symbol. And it would be 1,500 years, give or take, until that mercy was realized and Jesus lifted up on the cross for those people. Till that mercy was brought to fruition. And the same is true for you. You have that mercy now. But you don't know the day or hour when Jesus is coming back to judge the world. You don't know how long it will be till that mercy that you have now is brought to fruition in the day of Jesus Christ. And it may not be until that day that you get all the answers you want for all the suffering you've been through. But in the meantime, we have the patient mercy of Christ. And He is working in us His kind of patience. For He says to you today, I am sending you my Spirit. And He is sanctifying you as His child. And believe it or not, even more than mothers know and learn about impatience and about patience in motherhood, He will continue to be patient with you as you grow in Him and learn patience from Him. To Him be all the honor and glory now and forever. Amen. We stand to sing the offertory together.